Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hey guys, here's a little bit of a bonus podcast for today. I didn't even give the date to the previous one. May 6th, Monday, May 6th. Happy Cinco de Mayo post uno day o. That's my best Spanish for you. Getting back to that whole McDonald's thing, you know, think about if you haven't watched that movie, oh man, what is it? It's on Netflix, is it? It's the Ray Kroc story, the guy that founded McDonald's. The Founder, is that what it's called? Help me out. I think it's called The Founder. I watched it about a year ago. It's a really, really great movie. Especially if you're an entrepreneur, especially if you're a dreamer, especially if you love stories about people that have just a dream and a vision and they never give up and all of these, you know, tug of wars that are going on in their mind. Am I good enough? Am I not good enough? Am I going to run out of money? My wife hates me because this is the, 800th project I've done and the other 799 didn't work out. We've all been there, right? Whether you're male, female, husband, wife, doesn't matter, man. It's like, you've done enough of these deals and you're like, God, is this going to end up like all the other ones, you know? And when I talk to people on these calls, I get that a lot because they're not calling me because it's the first time they ever thought about doing something. A lot of people are calling me because they've had hundreds of failures before and it just occurred to them, well, maybe I'll get the advice. At least it's free from a guy on the phone. And then if I want to work with them, at least my chances of being successful are better. But I hear these stories from people and it always starts like this. Sam, you're never going to believe it. And they tell me a story that not only have I done, everybody else has done it, but they just don't talk to enough people about it. And they think they're abnormal. Is this you? Like you've tried something brave/stupid. Sometimes the lines between the two are really blurred, Was it brave or was it stupid? I don't know. I guess those two can be synonymous a lot of times, Was me buying a Quiznos brave or was it stupid? I'd say it was both. It was brave in the sense I went out to be an entrepreneur. Incredibly stupid that I didn't check the books and didn't realize that it was just failing miserably. And I don't even think, although my wife and I have had this conversation a number of times, is that she goes, there was no talking you out of doing that. You realize that, right? I go, I know. I kind of wish you would have, but you're right. Because I put myself back in that mindset of 2004. And let me tell you something. When I said I was all in on the previous podcast right before this one, when I said I was all in on going through that real estate boot camp, I was all in. Like there was no way I was not going to become a real estate investor. There was just no way. And that mindset is so powerful. Now, it can also work against you. When I bought the Quiznos back in 2004, I still can't believe it. When I say those words, I still can't believe I owned one. Like I don't even see myself own. I see myself owning a coffee shop because I love conversation with people. Like I could. That's why I love being a bartender. When I was 22 years old, I became a bartender. I became a doctor. I became a bartender in Buffalo, New York, in 1990. That was one of the greatest summers of my life, man. Bartending in Lockport, New York, actually. So it's about a 30-minute drive from Buffalo every day. I was living with two women. Two girls around my age, strictly platonic, answered an ad in the paper, and there I was, like Three's Company, da-da, knock on my door. So I'm living in Buffalo, New York. It's two girls and me. They got regular jobs. They have a life. They're, contributing to society, adding value to the world. And then there's me, playing Nintendo baseball until 3 p.m. on our little, 19-inch TV. And then going off to my bartender job till 4 a.m. And I was 22 years old. I had a 1990 Nissan Sentra that I just bought at Kenmore Nissan on Delaware Avenue in Buffalo, New York. I walked in, signed my name, and walked out with a brand new Nissan Sentra, which was amazing to me. that you could actually sign your name and buy it. It was all foreign to me, you know. Well, okay, I own a car now. Brand new car, shiny. Well, not shiny. It was kind of blue, darker blue. I guess it was shiny. It was brand new. I'd never driven a new car in my life. Growing up as a kid, we always had these big cars that were like as big as your living room. And, you know, bump, 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 bump. You could hear the Crowleys coming a mile away. It was like bump, 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 bump. You know, we weren't sneaking up on anybody. And so when I bought this car, I would drive my 90-seat Nissan Sentra from North Buffalo to Lockport, New York. And I'd be a bartender. And, I mean, it was just kind of the greatest feeling in the world. So there was these two girls adding value, and there was me, you know, going off to a job every day. But I always just kind of knew that, hey, it's someday, this is just a stop for me. This is kind of just a temporary place for me to kind of have a little bit fun, not take life so seriously. But I really wasn't taking life that seriously anyway at the age of 22. But the point of it is, you know, when you look back and you're all in on things. Now you're all in, and you know, you just know when you know when you know, and you know that you're onto something good. You know, like, you don't know how it's going to work out, but you know you're all in. When you're all in, you couldn't have talked me out of, you know, you could not have talked me out of buying that Quiznos in 2004. It wasn't going to happen, unfortunately, because I hated my job so much, and I hated being controlled, and I hated people telling me I had to be someplace at a certain date, a certain time. And, you know, my daughter's graduating in a couple of weeks here in Loveland, Ohio. And I always envisioned this. I meant to make this a separate podcast. So I think I better kind of back off this topic. But I want to make this a real special podcast. Of course, then I'll forget and I won't give it all. So I might as well just talk about it now. You know, when I quit my job, the vision going through my mind was my daughter, Madeline, walking down the aisle at her graduation from high school and me sobbing uncontrollably, tears of regret that I never spent any time with her. Now, at the time, you know, in 2004, for 8 months of that year, you know, we only had Madeline. So that's when these thoughts were going through my mind. And then Laura came on board. Laura was born in August of that year. And then right away, Paigey was born in October of the following year. Within a few years, now we had three kids. My God, I don't even tell you. You can never handle one to two kids. It's like a football team, it feels like. Going from one to two kids was the most, and I'm telling you, like, I did any of the work. My wife did all the work. But I remember looking at my wife, Angela, thinking, oh, my God, we have two kids now, a three-year-old and an infant. This is, how do we even, like, what do you even do? And she goes, I don't know. This is a lot of work with two. Wow. And going from two to three was no big deal. I was like, oh, okay, I got another kid. And then the fourth one, obviously, Susan, was much different circumstances. But it's like by the time the third kid comes, oh, my God, look at, like, Madeline would walk down the stairs. We're like, watch your step. Oh, my God, did you slip and fall, honey? Oh, my God, like bubble wrapper, you know? Paigey, our third kid, he said, oh, look, Paigey fell down the whole flight of stairs. Isn't that funny? Come on, rub some dirt on it, honey. Come on over, have some goldfish. There you go. All right, you're fine. You know, that's what it's like raising kids. But I remember thinking, my daughter Madeline is going to be walking down the aisle at 18 years old, and I'm going to be sobbing uncontrollably in the audience thinking, where did the time go? I spent it at another stupid meeting. I couldn't get to her dance recital, to her Honor Society nomination, to ballet, whatever she was involved in, all because I had this stupid job. And that was the vision that would gnaw at me when I was, you know, thinking about quitting my job. And now here we are. That's how fast 15 years goes. And I'm telling you, I feel so old. The things I say now, my God, I feel like my grandfather, although I never met my grandfather, but I feel like a grandfather when I tell my kids, I'll give you a reason to cry. Man. You don't appreciate it all. You know, and I think about, my God, this is what it's like. This is what it's like to live out your life, have children. They start graduating now from high school, and of course then they're going to go out into the workforce or graduate from college and, you know, have children. I don't think I'm ready for that. I mean, it took 15 years for me, you know, and I was squeezing these days with my kids. Like, we spent 2013, that was really 6 years ago. 2013, we spent every day at Kings Island, and then we went back to our home in Springville, New York for 6 weeks. And then we came back and spent every day at Kings Island. I didn't work the entire summer of 2013. I didn't work because I remember I had a pretty good year financially up until then. I'm like, I'm off, taking a summer off. I'll get back to work in September. And those are the types of things you can't explain to people until you actually go through it yourself. Like, Yeah, of course. There was a bankruptcy a few years before that. There was a lot of work and a lot of work and a lot more work. But man, when you have control over your schedule and you have control over your life and you can make money doing what it is that you love to do, you don't need to make $1 million. I think that's the biggest misconception out there, is that you got to make $100,000 a month, or, you know, I've had some good months. So have you, though. You've had some good months. But it's not like, you know, it's never about the money. It's just, I'm going to look now when Madeline walks down the aisle May 26th at her graduation at the Cintas Center here in Cincinnati, where Xavier University plays their basketball games, just kind of an FYI. That's where our high school graduation is this year. When that's going on, I'm not going to have any regret. I'm going to be extremely sad, like sad tears of joy. I'm not sad like, oh my God. No, I'm just like, wow, my little girl, my firstborn, you know. There she is, graduating high school. Holy crap. Like, that's big. So think about those thoughts. Boy, we've gone a long way in this podcast, haven't we? 10 minutes, we talked about The Founder on Netflix, me bartending, playing Nintendo until 3 in the afternoon by myself. That was a lot of fun. God, what a loser I was. But boy, that was a good summer, though. I don't know. Conflicting thoughts between being a loser and squeezing out a lot of fun that summer. Wowee. Everybody should be a bartender at some point in your life. It's really a lot. You're a psychologist. You sit there, a psychiatrist, whatever. You listen to people's problems. You have fun. They laugh. Oh, geez, I was thinking, how did I get to think about being a bartender? I could see myself owning a coffee shop because I love to engage in conversation with interesting people, you know? So maybe that's down the road, but way, way, way down the road. But man, I'll tell you, you must go for your dream. You must go for your dream. Do not have regret, especially if you have little kids or you're thinking about having kids. Oh boy. I see all these dads, man, and they get to their daughter's lacrosse game late. They're stressed. They're walking in with the suit on, or their basketball game, or their track meet, or, you know, I'm taking their kids to the pool in the summertime. It's just, man, don't do that. Just don't do that. You're gonna be given a lot of choices, a lot of opportunities in life to go after your dream. You don't gotta see what that looks like right away, though. It can always change, and it will change. But don't ever be afraid to go for your dream. Just don't do it, man. You know, a lot of people are gonna try to talk you out of it. A lot of people who love you don't want to see you get your hopes up, as if that's a bad thing. Yeah, I wouldn't want too many people having hope in this world. That'd be a terrible thing, you know. Just don't let people with 10-cent dreams try to talk about your million-dollar dream. That's such a bad thing to have happen. I'd love to help you, man. I really would. I don't want you to fear about, I got a package for everybody. They're all customized to work together one-on-one, to hold you accountable to finally getting this thing launched and getting it off the ground. Do yourself a favor. Go to launchwithsam.com. Book a 30-minute time frame with me. And I promise, if you're willing to do it and go all in mentally, emotionally, I'm willing to work with you with a customized program to make that happen. I mean, my commitment level's off the hook with people now. It just is, because I see the results. We have video testimonials now from clients, you know, singing the praises, and they can't even believe what their life looks like right now prior to working with me. And I don't say me, self. I'm just like, that's what I do. I'm the old doctor from the 50s, you know, going patient by patient. You know, working with them. Where's the pain? Tell me where it hurts. Let's fix it, and let's get you healthy and going again. All right? Book your 30-minute call, launchwithsam.com, and go for that dream. You're going to do it? Promise yourself you're going to do it. Make a promise. Commitment is a promise you make to yourself. Do it. Don't wait another day. And have the best day ever!
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag #EveryDayIsSaturday.